So glad to have you here this morning. I'm living proof that we do make mistakes, and I will continue to make mistakes. So it has all come down to my eyesight. I was talking to you last week about it. I look down, and I can't see stuff. Yes, I know. Mid-40s, I gotcha. But there's a little bit of a thump. Can you pull that bass out of there? So when I look down at things, and I get caught down here, I miss words. So actually what happened in my little iPad, just to give you the inside scoop, it actually said verse 3, and instead I actually moved the key down. So I don't know why I did that. It looked like it was capo 3, and so I messed around. It was supposed to be something else. So anyways, it doesn't even matter. The point is we're not going to get into guitar stuff right now. But yeah, so when it does it, don't worry. Everyone beats up on me enough, and you don't need to join in. So we got a big thing happening afterwards, so I hope you stick around afterwards to help support the youth downstairs. But we're continuing our series on the Holy Spirit, and last week we discussed Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 22, and that we said that when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, we are empowered to be able, to be confident, and to be true. Able in the fact that God can give you abilities you didn't realize you had within you, confidence in you that you'll be able to stand up when the need arises at the appropriate time, and true in that truth is truth. And we as Christians do not apologize for that. We don't apologize for the truth, but we need to know our facts. We need to know our audience in order to communicate that truth. And I've heard people say the gospel is offensive, but you don't need to be. Yeah? Amen? I don't think we need to be offensive to communicate God's truth. I think we take it a little bit too far when we say the Bible or Scripture is offensive, the gospel is offensive. When people are talking about that, they're not meaning to go and offend people. They're meaning that just the truth of it is against what we're used to. Not offensive as in name-calling and belittling. It's just different than what the world is like. So we are to do what's right, but do it by example, do it with grace, do it with compassion, and we are to do it with love. We are to communicate with love. So today, we're going to finish chapter 4, and it's going to be chapter 4, 32 to 37. I'm going to read it for you, and then we'll get into it. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerful at work within them that all who were in need... No, sorry. See again. Yeah, that doesn't help. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerful at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, thank you, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus. Nope. Yep. Yeah, whatever. Whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, I'm going to stand here, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Whew! I'm not getting bifocals. I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm going to get the old man glasses to do that. Okay, everybody. That's what we're going to do. Anyways, so within this portion of Scripture, there's a theme running through it. Hand over all your money. No, I'm kidding. But people use that. And I'm not afraid to discuss this morning briefly, but this is, when it's talking about people who had stuff, sold it, and they brought it, this is people who had extra. And they felt the desire to give it to the church for them to do something for the needy. Okay? Don't let anyone else tell you that this is a scripture that's demanding you come and just pour out your money bags and your pockets and everything and your credit cards and all. That's not what it's saying, okay? The theme that runs through this whole thing is unity. Okay? By the Spirit, by one Spirit, unity. It's not talking about giving everything away. And we've taken, some people have taken this scripture and turned it into something that it's not. It's also, at that time, maybe the circumstances were for it. It was just one of those events that we don't have to take and run with and give everything away. Doesn't mean you can't be generous. Just saying this scripture is not telling you that. So a lot of people take this out of context and throw it around. The main thing in here is that it is unity, okay, throughout everyone. When you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, you will do anything for unity. And that's what this scripture is talking about. We should see unity as a challenge to us regarding our attitude toward each other in the body of Christ and our attitude towards resources, wealth, money, whatever you want to call it, possessions. We should look at all our possessions, everything we own, as belonging to God. He has blessed us. He is the giver of all things. And as his stewards, he expects us to use our personal possessions and our money wisely. That's what this is saying. He expects us to use it wisely. On top of all that, we should ensure that no one is in need in the body of Christ. So when we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, unity is a priority. So how do we maintain this unity by the Spirit? Well, we must first put aside our own selfish desires and fears. Verse 32, all the believers were one in heart and mind. They were unified with a purpose. And I'm sure they had a disagreement from time to time. Do you think I could get past five people in this building without disagreeing with them on something, and you with me? Knowing most of you? Yeah. I can't get that far. And that's okay. It's okay to have a different opinion. It's okay to be a different personality type and to have a different view on things. But unity is different. It's a focused goal. When I am pushing the vision of West Winds, go and be, that my main focus is on the goal, unity, helping others, the whole mission. I don't really care how we get there, as long as we get there. Some of you like to take the long scenic route down the coast, through the trees, through the woods to grandmother's house we go. I like straight lines. Get there fast. Others don't. And it doesn't matter. So if we want to do something in the church, reach out to the community, if we want to go, I don't care about the process. I just want to make sure we do it. So how we go about it doesn't matter. How many of you argue with your spouse, significant other, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it is? How many of you argue about the process of reaching a goal? You laugh. I don't believe that, Debbie. Not one bit. Of course we do. Because we have our own opinions. Yours will probably be wrong, but the point is, we all have our own opinion. You want something done your way because you believe it is the only way, and it is the best way. I'm here to tell you there are many ways to accomplish a goal. Yours might not be the best one, but it might be. If you want unity, you have to listen and hear to what others are saying. It doesn't mean they are right. Doesn't mean they're wrong, but there's a way to accomplish the goal without destroying your reputation and everyone else within a 10-mile radius. There is a way to do it. I've been going to conferences for a long time, pastoral conferences, and there was a certain individual that would get up every time and talk. Every time, to the point of where everybody pulled out their phone, their iPad, laptops, their boom boxes, whatever they had on them, and stared at it, because this person came up. And I tell you, sometimes he was right, but it became a constant, all the time, arguing about things that we really didn't need clarification on. It's pretty clear. Maybe that person did, but sometimes they were doing it for others, and it's like, maybe, you know, less is more. Less is always more. So we would watch this, and we would fade out. His reputation became, as soon as he walked up, you pulled out iPhones, you fell asleep, Pastor Ted's head was back, my mouth wide open, and that was it. You were done. And they lost their voice. Reputation is easy to lose and hard to get back. And so we were not unified because we checked out. And that's what can happen sometimes in our own personal lives or with other people if we're always opinionated, if we put our selfish desires first. Unity is clearly taught in Philippians chapter 2, 1 to 11, where Christ is presented as a model for our lifestyle. If we are to maintain unity within the body, he is the model. And it goes like this. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but to each of you, to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used at his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to glory of God the Father. You see, one of the biggest hindrances to maintaining unity is hurt individuals. In their efforts to solve a problem, they give vent to their hurts. This may take the form of justice, the battle for justice, the battle for truth. It may take a form in arrogance, stubbornness, but it is actually a battle within to salvage a hurt ego. A person who puts aside their own selfish desires does not insist on their own way. 1 Corinthians 13:5. Love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. We, empowered by the Holy Spirit, should be willing to compromise on the non-essentials for the greater good. Many Christians have misinterpreted Acts chapter 4 by thinking we have to give and sell everything away, and they have tried to use it for their own gain financially. Some have been hurt by this, and out of that hurt, they feel the church should not ask for resources or to help others. Some will join the church and choose to leave it because it does not meet their needs, instead of coming together in unity and contributing to the vision and to the cause. But no matter what our hurt is, we must not allow the abuse of Scripture from anybody else, from our own misunderstandings, to cause us to miss out on the great blessing that God has for you. On that same Scripture, if you could just understand the correct Scripture and what it meant. In other words, don't let the ignorance, and when I say ignorance, I mean they don't know, of someone or something that hurt you because of the past. And don't miss out on what God has for you in the future. You are punishing yourself because of what someone else has done, and you are giving them the power to impact your life and miss out on what God has in store for you. Don't let someone do that to you. Don't let them have that power. Don't allow that fear to control you. One mistake by you or someone else does not erase truth. It does not erase truth. It's similar logic. When we hear something, we've been hurt by Scripture or by abuses of that. It's similar, I think, to a car, a vehicle. You get in one accident, you write off all automobiles. Why would you do that? One accident, whether it was your fault or not, you just write it off. I don't want to go in cars anymore or anything with wheels because I got in an accident and it hurt me. You can't stay there. And you can use other parallels as well, but just because one thing happens doesn't make that whole thing wrong. That's the same as what some states in the South are struggling with when it comes to other people that look different than them. They've had one bad experience or somebody told them something and they take it out on a whole bunch of people. It's not right. And it's the same with Scripture. One mistake, don't lose out. Don't paint every church and every Scripture with one brush. So in order to maintain unity, one must push away our own selfish desires, our ego, and fear. We must push it aside. Secondly, in order to maintain unity, we are to make unity our primary responsibility. Verse 33 and 34, first part, or last part and first part. And God's grace was so powerful at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. This was a priority. This was a focus. They didn't want anyone to be in need. Caring for each other was a primary responsibility. Paul's warning in Ephesians 4, verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And this is particularly applicable to leaders, but it is beneficial to all of us. It is the responsibility of everyone in the church to keep the unity. If there are issues, we are to discuss them rationally and respectfully. Our staff here is united. We are unified. They will not speak against each other. Well, there's two of us that will get in trouble because we're married to them, but that's a whole other thing. We will not speak against each other. And we will not speak poorly of you who attend the church. Well, of anyone, we shouldn't, but specifically you guys do. If anyone does, then we're going to have a chat. A nice chat. And as the lead pastor, my job is to protect the people of West Winds, the board, and the staff. I will not play one group against the other to feed my ego or anyone else's. I will, and we will, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, because we are empowered by that same Spirit. So it is our primary responsibility. Thirdly, in order to maintain unity, we are to fellowship. And we're going to do that in a few minutes. Believers should meet often to share with each other their triumphs, with their struggles, their concerns. And the picture we get from the Gospels about Jesus and his disciples is that they were a group that spent a lot of time traveling, worshiping, talking, ministering, and learning together. Did they get along all the time? No. No. It is when we walk in the light that we have fellowship with one another. John, 1 John 1, 7. And so this openness to fellowship, it takes time to build and it takes time to maintain. In this busy world that we live in, your schedules are packed full of things. You got stuff going on. I know. I get it. We must find time for what we consider important, including fellowship. We can sometimes be so caught up with our own life, our own businesses, that we lose sight of the importance of meeting together and fellowshipping with others. It is in this that we create trust, we create accountability, and we create support. Us gathering together is essentially a spiritual unity in Christ. Philippians 2:1, encouragement from being united with Christ enables us to be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. When we are empowered by the Holy Spirit in unity, we worship together, we pray together. That's why we do it up front on Sundays and we after the services and in Bible studies and homes. That's why we pray together. When we are committed to Scripture and when we have commitment to a common mission, a common goal, we have unity. Romans chapter 15, verse 5 and 6 shows how commitment to a common mission brings about unity. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, we are united. Not mindless followers, but believers that are driven by love, compassion, trust, patience, and unity. Only then will we be truly empowered by the Holy Spirit every day of your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we want your spirit to be real in our lives. We want to be open to what you have for us and what you want us to do as a group and as individuals. Help us to be a united group of believers that look out for each other, that encourage each other with compassion, with love, with trust, with patience. Help us to continue to work towards the goal of letting others know about Jesus Christ in a life-changing experience that only you can do. And so we thank you. As we go to fellowship this morning, let it be a united front. Let it be where we are working together for a common goal, where we are encouraging each other and lifting each other up, supporting each other in times of need, and rejoicing with each other in times of triumph. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives and what you're about to do. In Jesus' name, amen.